Howdy and welcome to the Bonanza Boys. It's your host and commissioner, Manager Steele. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Manager Matt. How you doing?
Steele, doing pretty well. Another week in the books. I won't give anything away for me, but it's been pretty good. How about you? You caught a couple of games, a few games over the last week or two.
Yeah, it's been a lot of live hockey. Was the Jackets game really on Monday in Calgary? It must have been. I feel like we talked about it already. Oh, but we would have because we recorded the pod after that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I saw Jackets versus the Flames on the Monday. And then Ryan said, hey, I got tickets to the Flames and Jackets games Friday, Saturday night in Seattle if you could make it on the Wednesday. And I was like, oh, I'll be spontaneous. Hopped on a flight. Unfortunately, Friday was delayed 4 hours on the plane.
Oh,
so
brutal.
I missed the Flames game. Yeah.
Okay, that explains why I didn't hear anything about the Flames game, but yeah.
Yeah. But hopefully that means I get some money back, which would be nice as well. But we'll see. And then the Jackets really didn't show up till like the last 15 minutes of the third. I'd forgotten how funny the Seattle fans were in just terms of like what they cheer and what they boo. Like, it would be like a one on two, like four Seattle, like one Seattle player versus two Columbus, and like they'd be going wild, like it was a breakaway. They're like,
just crossing the blue line makes their day.
Yeah. And then other chances that were like good, like nobody made a peep. I was like, what is happening? But
it's too fast.
Lots of fun. Love that arena, and had a great time with Ryan and Sydney.
Yeah, that sounds great. And then you managed to take in the Phenom game last night.
You're right. Yeah, lucky me. Brendan and I got to catch the Connor Bedard show as it came to Calgary. He looked great, but like he didn't have like a dominant game, but he had a really nice snipe from a bad angle goal.
That was a great goal.
His shot's pretty wild. I'm still not entirely convinced his assist on the game tying goal went in. I don't know. We couldn't see the puck, but I assume it went in, or else
I saw a replay. It looked like it did. Yeah.
Okay. And then he had a nifty little shootout move to win it in the shootout after he played, I think, like 4.5 minutes of the OT.
I watched like a little bit of the game, and he was on the ice every other shift. Like, and his coach looks like an old school like basketball coach. He just throws him out there all the time by the looks of it.
It was crazy. It was like he played the first like 3 minutes and 40 seconds, and then they had a little break, and then he put him back on. Yeah. And it was packed. So like sold out Saddle Dome, and like, I don't know. I was excited to see Bedard, but I didn't realize how many people would be cheering for the Pats, the Regina Pats in general. Like, people were going crazy every time they scored.
Really?
Yeah, I know. And I was like, you guys, like, you realize it wasn't Bedard that scored, right?
Yeah.
But I guess they're just cheering for him. But lots of fun. And we haven't really had that kind of highly touted prospect in the WHL that we've had a chance to see, so.
I don't know about the history of the prospects in the, or Tavares, I think he was exceptional in the OHL, right?
Yeah.
Exceptional status and that sort of thing. But I watched a little bit of the game. He really kind of dominates all of their offense. It's like, it kind of has to go through him. I mean, obviously he's their best player. He's an exceptional player, but everyone's looking for him all the time, to be fair, but I'll be really curious to see how, I mean, he had an incredible World Juniors as well. And like, I think I heard the announcer say that they played the Hitmen, like Regina played the Calgary Hitmen like earlier this year, and Bedard was there and there was like 3,000 people in the arena. Post World Juniors, it was like a 19,000 sellout crowd at the Saddle Dome. So that's the hype of the national tournament, I guess.
Yeah, they had one other line that had a couple, that got some nice goals and stuff, but the Hitmen were like, they had like 40 shots on net through like halfway through the second, like it was all Hitmen for a while there. But lots of fun. We got our money's worth with all the action and extra period and shootout, but uh, why don't we take a look at some transactions in the league? We had the real life trade of Horvat for Anthony Bo Ratti and a first for Bo Horvat.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was a little worried about Bo being traded. I think he'll still be on power play one, so I'm not as upset.
Who are their centers? Brock Nelson and JG Pageau.
Nelson, Pageau and Cizikas.
I don't know. I don't care about Cizikas, but no offense. But I mean, he has to slot in as their, you'd think, as their top line center.
Oh, and Barzal, obviously. But I think Barzal will play right wing is the rumblings, at least. We'll see what actually happens. But that would be nice, if Horvat and Barzal formed a nice little duo.
So those were their four centers then. Barzal,
Pageau,
Nelson, and Cizikas.
Yeah.
Interesting. Oh, I mean, obviously, they have to play Horvat in center, right? That's his position. It'll be interesting.
Been weak on the dot, so
seemed like they gave up a decent amount to get him. Ati Ratti was a really highly touted prospect a couple of years ago, I think.
Yeah, well, he was always the absolute stud in NHL, so everybody loves him from that, from a BGM mode, because he turned
He had the highest.
He didn't have the franchise, but he was like a medium elite, which was bona fide, like a high 80, low 90 kind of guy.
Yeah,
So I think a lot of people still had that because he fell quite a bit in the draft. But in the league, we had a trade for Mr. Luke Shen. Going to manager Mitch and Tap Shifley, along with a 12th round pick. Manager might go with Kirill's Capriz, added Evgeny Kuznetsov to the comrades, along with an 8th rounder. Honestly, when I saw this, I thought it was Ryan at first, because I know he wanted Shen, but I guess Mitch beat him to the punch.
Yeah, Michael's definitely capitalizing on his Luke Shen's value. I don't think anyone thought that he was going to lead the league in hits this year. He did hit a lot last year, but he was sitting out a number of games and he didn't get much ice time. I wonder, I don't know if I assume Tockett will continue to play him, but coaching change, who knows? Because Netsov was a top like 20 forward like 4 or 5 years ago, wasn't he? I remember you had Kuznetsov one season and he was just, when he was playing with Ovi.
When he finally kind of took over first line.
He was incredible. But I don't know what Michael needs in Kuznetsov, or if I think Drew might have had, actually it's a good thing to check. I think Drew had 6 lock centers.
Drew or Mitch?
No. Sorry, yeah, Mitch. No, he doesn't. He did at one point, but he does not anymore. I think it's a good trade. Michael's been trying to get some draft pick capital and hits for manager Mitch. I think it's solid for both sides.
An 8th for a 12th isn't gonna sink your season or your draft next year by any means. And looking at hits on the season, manager Mitch he was 4th at 1180, so he's trying to improve that record there. As Michael leads the league by a large margin with 1,382 hits. But why don't we, other than that, I think a lot of pickups, nothing too crazy. Do we want to go into that first matchup?
Yeah, let's take a look. We had yours truly, Manager Steele, Team Nelly Spaghetti versus Manager Drew and Team Ratman Returns. A little delayed. The rat was at the other side of the cage. But and this was an 8-3 victory for you. Despite 11 games less played, Drew had 71 and you had 60. So big victory for you. And power play points were close. But besides that, and the goaltender categories were pretty close, but Drew won goals against and save percentage. So it wouldn't have helped. Just a good, you guys tied shots on goal, but a solid skater category kind of victory for you here.
Yeah, the boys did pretty well. Goaltending, has kind of fallen off the last couple of weeks just with either injuries or like Hellebuck, I'm sure you'll talk about, but Grubauer had a good game versus Columbus. Looking at manager Drew's players, obviously when we're talking about him, we're talking about the Boston guys, but not necessarily in the strong performer segment here, because we'll go start off with Mr. Lee on the Islanders, 4 goals. Plus 5, 12 shots, 2 face-off wins, 3 hits. Patrick Laine had a goal and 4 assists. I got to see that goal live. Minus 4, 3 power play points, 12 shots, 4 face-off wins, 2 hits, and 4 blocks. Matt Boldy with 4 points, as he had 2 goals and assists, as well as 2 power play points. 15 shots, and he had one game where he had... Yeah, I mean, that was in 3 games, so that's a pretty impressive shot total. 3 face-off wins, 4 hits, and somebody else had a very surprising stat line, or maybe, I don't know, maybe it was Boldy. Somebody had like a wild amount of shots, because I thought I had that one pretty wrapped up in the bag, but all of a sudden he had a big lead, but I digress.
Yeah, and I'll just add on to that. At the Prize Banana rankings, you were 5th at 4-2 with 4-2 and 5. So 5 ties across the league, which is crazy. And Drew was dead last at 0-11 and 0. We'll look at your strong performers here, led by John Tavares, a goal and 5 assists, plus 5, 3 power play points, a whopping 23 shots on goal, 29 faceoff wins, 10 hits, and 6 blocks. That's a heck of a stat line for him. Very impressive, having to do, maybe shoulder a little more of the shooting with Matthews being injured for a few weeks. We got Dreisaitl with a goal and 2 assists, Kucherov with a goal and 5 assists, plus 3, a power play point, 7 shots. Sam Reinhart with 2 goals and an assist with 12 shots, so he's coming alive a little bit. Evgeny Malkin, 3 goals, 3 assists, minus 6, 4 power play points, 7 shots, 17 faceoff wins, and 2 hits. So pretty turbulent stat line there. Jesper Bratt with a goal and 3 assists. And Bo Horvat, recently traded, with a goal and 4 assists in net. A bit of an odd kind of stat line. Grubauer had the one good game, like you mentioned. A goal, one game started, the win, a 1.00 goals against, and a 960 save percentage. And, I mean, Hellebuck kind of deserves an honorable mention. 3 games started, no wins, a 335 and a 916. So he must have just been peppered with shots. Yeah, it looks like 41, 36, and 30 over the course of that week.
Yeah, he had a great great first game of the week, and then had a terrible game versus Philly where they lost 4-0. On the crease side for manager Michael, yeah, Logan Thompson, not a weak performance here. 2 games started. He didn't get a win, but a 234 and a 932 save percentage. Linus Allmark, I managed to catch Boston on a losing streak, which I'm not sure any other manager could say here.
Certainly not.
2 games started, no wins, a 307 goals against, and a 914 save percentage. We'll touch on the Boston Skaters. Marchand just with the goal and assist, minus 1 with 12 shots and nothing else. I think that was in at least 3 games, 4 games maybe even. Yeah, I think it was 4.
24th through 29th.
So presumably Bergeron also had 4, and in that period he just had 1 goal, 12 shots, 46 faceoff wins as usual, and 3 hits. So a terrible week for the Boston boys overall. Dylan Strome just with the 1 assist. And let's keep going down here. Erik Gustafsson really came back down to earth after that torrid start, although he did have a good game, it looks like, on Monday. He was pointless, minus 3, 8 shots, 7 hits, 3 blocks. And Dominic Kubalik just with the 1 assist, Burakovsky with the 1 assist. So not the best week for manager Drew, particularly in the peripherals as well, where he didn't have a single double-digit hitter or blocker on the week.
Yeah, and your team, Dylan Cousins with no points, although he did score 1 goal and had a pretty good game in one night that you sat him. It's the, you know, part comes with the territory of being a manager. Nice. Backstrom with just the 1 goal, I think you missed an assist on him too. So making me dig for your bad players here. Jason Zucker, don't have to dig for that one. No points, minus four, 10 shots, 3 hits, 4 blocks. Kyle Palmieri, that must have just been a stream.
It's just the one game.
He's got five points in his last four right now. Yeah. But so just the one game. Truba, no points, but 10 shots, 12 hits, 11 blocks. Pretty good stuff. Tom Wilson, that looks like it was just one game as injured, well.
Yeah.
Alec Martinez.
Oh my goodness.
He holds the blocking title, but he has just not been blocking recently. So he just had, how many games did you have for him here? Looks like
at least two, if not three.
Yeah, it looks like at least two. But he did no points, minus one, 3 shots and 1 block, and that it was a pretty quick drop from you. And Stuart Skinner, one game started, no wins, a 288 goals against and an 889 save percentage. So that's not terrible, but not great as well.
No, that was against Columbus. They managed to lose that one. Man, Martinez, like, I didn't even realize he was on the wire, and then I saw him, I was like, oh, and, like, you look at the stat line, you're like, oh, that is poor, but, like, he still is leading the league in blocks, which is always a tough category to have consistent production, but he's been absolute trash lately, so back to the wire for him. We'll see who picks him up. MVP.
Yeah, he's leading blocks by almost 40 over the league. David Savard is next closest, even right now, even with him being in a bit of a cold. Actually, I guess that doesn't show owned players, so they have to take another look. I think Yossi's up there too.
Yossi's pretty decent. Same with Truba, but MVP.
Tavares for me.
Yeah, Tavares had a pretty
complete stat line. Yeah.
I agree there. So we'll head into our next matchup featuring One Nut Wheeler manager Neil versus A Whole New World manager Jeffrey. Oh,
beautiful.
Thank you. This was a 7-5 win for manager Jeff. Looking at the categories, there were a few close ones. He won goals by 3, power play points by 3, had the one more win in terms of prize banana. Jeff was tied at number 6 with a 5-4-2 record. Neil was 11th at 1-10-0. I guess the right team ended up winning here. But they played a pretty even amount of games. Jeff is now sitting 6th in the playoffs, whereas Neil has officially, I think he was eliminated last week, but we can call the date of death this week as he is now eliminated from playoffs.
He's got his one victory on the year.
Sure
though,
does.
So he gotta be happy. Everyone remembers a winless team, but get those one win and it doesn't seem to ring quite the same. But we'll look at his strong performers. Alex Barkov, 2 goals, 5 assists, 1 power play point, 18 shots, a whopping 53 faceoff wins. Holy smokes. 3 hits, 4 blocks. Brock Nelson, we'll see if he takes a step back with the addition of Horvat to the island, but 2 goals, 3 assists, plus 3, 13 shots, 29 faceoff wins, 4 hits and a block. Mikko Rantanen with 2 goals and an assist. Owen Power with 3 goals and plus 4. That's pretty solid. And Elias Pettersson, 2 goals, 2 assists, 1 power play point, 4 shots, 9 hits, 9 faceoff wins, 3 hits and 5 blocks. Antti Raanta with the rare stat line of more wins than games started. 1 game started, 2 wins, a 178 goals against, and a 932 save percentage.
Yeah, and we'll continue that Carolina train with Sebastian Aho. 4 goals plus 4, just the 1 power play point, but 14 shots, 17 faceoff wins, and a hit. Braden Pointhead, 2 goals, 3 assists, plus 4, just the 1 power play point with 9 shots and 7 faceoff wins. Johnny Gaudreau had 4 assists, including that awesome sauce. Minus 2, 3 power play points. The Columbus power play was clicking against Calgary, first time in like ever. Went right back to sucking against Seattle. 11 shots, 3 hits.
Yeah, they knew that their best fan was in the stands.
Of course. Oh, and I forgot to say, in Seattle, there was like 50 Jackets fans. There was so many. Like, you saw Jackets jerseys everywhere.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so I got to see what my reverse retro Goudreau jersey that's on its way looks like, and it looks nice. It was crazy. Outside of Columbus, that was by far the most Columbus fans I've ever seen.
You find any new lifelong friends? Gonna play COD with any of these?
Couple, you know, Blue Jackets. We'll start a little support group. We'll hop back to the pod here. Matty Tkachuk, one goal, six assists, plus three, one power play point, 19 shots on goal, five hits, three blocks. I was very wrong on this guy. He's having a great season, ranked 16th overall. I imagine he'll be a consistent performer going forward. Uyghur had three assists with five hits, five blocks. Braden Montour, two goals, two assists, was minus two, but 14 shots, three hits, two blocks with a power play point. Eric Karlsson continued his even strength dominance with another goal, three assists, plus four, five shots on goal, two hits, three blocks. Michael Rasmussen with 4 points and a nice little smattering of peripherals here. In net, Ranta clearly got the better side of the Carolina goalies, but Anderson didn't do too terrible with two games started, one win, a 225 goals against, and a 903 save percentage.
Yeah, we'll look at the weak performers for manager Neil. Kirby Dach with just one assist. Nikolai Ehlers with no points despite putting 11 shots on net. DeBrincat with just one goal. Teravainen one assist. There's a lot of 1 or 0 point guys going on here. JT Compher, Gustav Forsling, Brendan Smith on the Devils, and Ryan Johansson on Nashville. In net, Jordan Binnington continues to suck with two games started, no wins, a 362 goals against, and an 883 save percentage, dropping his save percentage under, it's 892 on the season. That's tough. I've been there.
Indeed. I kept trying to figure out Carolina's stat line here because they've had that two games already, in terms of weak performers for manager Jeff, really the only ones that stand out are the quick waiver wire additions like Kraus and Kotkaniemi and Mantha. In net, though, obviously if Allmark and Boston had a bad week, so did Swayman. Allmark must have been injured in a bit of a stretch there. Looks like I think they might be alternating starts a little. Two games started, one win, a 299 goals against, and an 898 save percentage. Darcy Kuemper did have the three starts and one win, but a 344 goals against and an 892. So he has been struggling lately, as I think Washington's goalies have in general. But I'd say that's it in terms of the strong performers that didn't do, the performers that didn't do too much that were expected to. You could maybe Victor Hedman, but he did all right, so we'll let him slide.
And with that, we take a look at the MVP conversation. I think I probably got to go with Matty Tkachuk here. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree.
He nearly got canceled out by Barkov, but I know. So, yeah, 19 shots, 7 points.
That line there, but
yeah, still very impressive.
No, I agree with that.
With that, we will head into the next matchup, which was between manager Jags and Big Cat's Back. And manager Mitch and team Top Shifley. And this was a very close one. 6-5 victory for manager Jags, pushing him up into seventh on the season. They tied assists at 23. Jags won plus minus by one. Mitch won power play points by one. Jags won wins by one, and Jags had a phenomenal goalie week, so I'm sure we'll get into that. But on the power rankings, or the prize banana rankings, Jags was number one. Wow, we've run into our prize banana. 10-0-1 for him versus poor Mitch coming in number two at 8-1-2. I feel like that's happened a few times this season.
We definitely have had some cream rising to the top battles, bringing out the best of their opponents. Yeah, and I know we'll have a quick tangent here because manager Brendan was like, "I got some beef," at the Pats games, because he was like, I guess him and Jags either they tied or he beat Jags, but was lower in prize banana and didn't quite understand. So, and I was having trouble articulating exactly how that could happen, but so I ran some simulations here, and so you know, let's say for example. It's really if your categories are tight and you're losing them, but you guys did really well in those, you could possibly do better against the league if the ones that you did win were still strong as well. So it's all about the gaps in between your losses and your wins. Because for example, I had one where I could have been 10-1-0 against the league versus Jeff. This was just with hypothetical stats. But Jeff could have beat me, but then still gone 4-1-6 against. So there's lots of things we could do, but the prize banana does not lie. We'll look at manager Mitch with Top Shifley. Strong performers here. We'll start off with Martin Nekash. 3 goals, 1 assist. I don't know why I didn't draft him. Like, I drafted this guy fucking like 9th round or 8th round over Markstrom last season. Like an absolute doofus. and like I was so pumped for him, and then this year like he didn't even get drafted, and I'm like, well, anyways, 3 goals, 1 assist, power play point, 11 shots, 6 faceoff wins, 4 hits. Nugent Hopkins had 3 power play assists with 4 shots and 10 faceoff wins. Boone Jenner with 2 goals and assists, a power play point, 14 shots, 43 faceoff wins, 8 hits, 6 blocks. Rasmus Ristolainen had a great week here for his new manager. 1 goal, 3 assists, plus 4, 3 shots, 5 hits and blocks apiece. And Nick Ritchie had 3 points with 7 hits and 4 blocks. And then in net, he had a great week, not as good as his opponent, but Shesterkin, Katahat, and Ukkolukkolainen combined for... 7 games started, just the 3 wins, which did come back to bite him here, but a 238 and a 927 save percentage.
Yeah, and we'll take a look at Jags's team, the prize banana. There's bound to be some strong performers in here. And we'll look at Logan Couture, 2 goals, 3 assists, plus 3, 8 shots, 18 faceoff wins, 3 hits, 2 blocks. Crosby with 2 goals and 4 assists, 5 power play points, 12 shots, 44 faceoff wins, 2 hits and blocks apiece. Carter Verschwege, as he's more affectionately known, with 4 goals and an assist, plus 3, a power play point, and a whopping 17 shots on goal. And who else do we have here? A pretty even contribution. Kempe with 1 goal and 2 assists, but not overwhelming offensive numbers here. Really strong, his strong perform, and he didn't have any double digit hitters or blockers either. That's very, but you know, he did his damage in the crease. Andre Vasilevsky, 3 games started, 3 wins, a 2.0 goals against, and a 941 save percentage, which is fantastic. And Karel Vejmelka, got the 1 shutout in the only game Jag started him in. He's been quite good. Well, his last couple games he's been very good.
It was a great goalie week for manager Jags. I think he led the league in goals against and save percentage, and then kind of middle of the pack on the game started wins. But on the weak side for manager Mitch, Mark Scheifele and the Winnipeg Jets not having the bestest of weeks. He had was -2 with just the 1 assist, 7 shots, 23 faceoff wins. Marcus Johansson, this must have just been a one game pickup, as he had the assist but was -2 and 1 power play point. And that -2 really hurt him. I guess the power play point did well, but and so did the assists. Wow, that's crazy. Wins him, or tied two categories, or ties one, wins one, and loses one. I guess he was non-effective in the end. Kyle McCarr with just the 2 assists. I guess, never mind, that was just in 2 games, so we will forgive him. McNabb had, 11 hits, 7 blocks. Sorry, it was Shen with 16 hits and 2 assists, 4 shots coming on strong for his new manager. We'll see, because I think he will get traded in real life, Luke Shen, as well. So we'll see if his deployment stays the same, because that's by far the most important thing with him. Ryan Pulock must have just been in the one game, was pointless. So is Nosen. Is that Stefan Nosen? Is that how it's pronounced? I don't know. He had a good game last game he played, but that was not in this week. Kerfoot and Paul were also pointless. Alakwin Siegenthaler. And yeah, that's about it.
We'll look at Jags as weak performers. There are a few. Brian Rust with just 1 goal. Lekkonen and Shabbat each with 1 goal as well. Although Shabbat did have 13 shots, 5 hits, and 4 blocks. Hampus Lindholm with just 1 assist. Theodore with no points. Heiskanen, 1 assist. Nico Hischier just 1 assist, but did have 13 shots and 36 faceoff wins. And Jordan Martinuk with 1 assist. Brett Pesce, it must have just been 1 game with no points. This must have really been stacking Carolina to try and get. I think they had a couple of extra games last week, or maybe just a 4 games played. But yeah, a lot more weaker performers than I would have expected from the prize banana, to be sure. But no goalie weak performances, and that was certainly where he made his bread this week.
Yeah, like I think he was, you know, near the top in goals with 19, which doesn't seem like it should be true, but it is. And then like there was a lot of minuses, so that +4 was pretty decent this week. And then obviously the goalie categories took him home, as he did, and he had a lot of shots on goal as well. So he won the categories he needed to. MVP, I got to go with Vasilevsky. You're going anywhere else?
No, it's got to be the big cat, the namesake.
Got to be KD. Yeah. All right, so we'll move on to our next matchup featuring Manager Brendan with DJ Zibanejad versus Manager Michael with Kirill's Kaprizov. This was a 7-5 win for Manager Michael, and it was a close one. He won plus-minus by 2. Brendan, yeah, and I guess that was kind of the only super close category. But in terms of prize banana, Manager Michael was tied for number 8 at 4-6-1, and Brendan was 10th at 2-8-1.
Yeah, and Brendan only 3 power play points this week. 36 blocks seems low, but maybe just had a down week this week. Did you say the prize banana rankings for those two?
I did, yeah. 8 and 10.
Okay, yeah. I just completely blanked on what you had said in the last like 15 seconds. So I was like, wait, I'm pretty sure you must have said it. But anyways, we'll look at Brendan's strong performers. Start with David Krejci with 1 goal and 3 assists, 6 shots and 20 faceoff wins. Max Domi, he continues to chug along a little bit with, he had 3 assists as well, and now has points in 5 consecutive games for the Blackhawks, who are doing their best to tank despite that. Mikhail Sergachev with just 2 assists, but did go +5. And Zibanejad with 2 goals and an assist, and Panarin with 3 assists. And Elias Lindholm with 1 goal and 2 assists, +2, 4 shots, 37 faceoff wins. And it's a pretty strong week in net for Brendan. Martin Jones, Alex Georgiev, and Dan Vladar combined for 6 games started, 5 wins, a .232 goals against, and a .922 save percentage. And leading the way there was Georgiev. I'm really testing myself, Georgie, and my G's with the 2 games started, 2 wins, a .200 goals against, and a .940 save percentage.
And on the strong side for Manager Michael, Connor McDavid, 1 goal and 3 assists, 3 power play points, 9 shots, 12 faceoff wins, and 3 hits and blocks apiece. Kaprizov had 3 power play points, 1 goal and 2 assists, 11 shots with 5 hits. Jeff Skinner with 1 goal and 4 assists, +4, 1 power play point, 6 shots, 7 faceoff wins, and a hit and a block. Patty Kane had 1 goal and 3 assists with 7 shots. Aaron Ekblad had a goal, 3 assists, 19 shots, which all came in, I believe, 4 games, 6 hits and 5 blocks. And JT Miller with 3 assists, 2 on the power play, 13 shots, 15 faceoff wins, 6 hits and a block. I imagine he will probably get some more minutes with Horvat being traded, as well as some more faceoff wins if they play him in the middle. And then Fleury had a pretty good week here. 3 games started, 2 wins, a 2.28 goals against, and a 9.29 save percentage.
Yeah, I guess that would be good news for Patterson and Miller. I think Patterson was the 2C, right? If Horvat was the number one, but we'll look at Brendan's weak performers here. Nick Suzuki on the Montreal Canadiens, who were also in the tank race, but no points and -7. 10 shots, 32 faceoff wins, and 4 hits and a block, but that's pretty brutal. Scott Laughton with just 1 assist, +2, 10 shots, 20 faceoff wins, 2 hits. Brandon Tanev with 1 assist, Perron with no points, Rasmus Anderson with no points, but not for lack of trying. He did have 11 shots. Connor Clifton, 1 assist, Torrey Krug, 1 assist and -4, but did have a power play point and 9 shots. Giordano with an assist. Issa Lindell, no points, -3. He's given up since he beat me on the Sunday. put together his best point stretch of the season. And Sandin and Foligno, each with no points. Riley Smith with just 1 assist. So Brendan is struggling for offense like we thought he might with his lack of high-end draft picks. But he's in fifth still. I'm kind of curious to see. Yeah, I mean, he probably doesn't want to sell. He probably doesn't want to be a huge buyer at the deadline because he probably doesn't have that much confidence in the the quality of some of his players. But I'm sure it would go a long way to help keep him firmly in the playoff picture. It's an interesting scenario to be in.
Indeed. We'll look at the weak players. I realize I say indeed quite a bit because I edited two pods in a row at the airport. And I was like, that's my
Did you ever watch Most Extreme Elimination Challenge?
Not in a long time.
So instead of saying indeed, you should say right you are, Matt. Just like the right you are Ken guy. Oh, man.
Yeah.
That was great.
Man, what a show that was. Cole Perfetti in 3 games, I believe, just had the 1 assist, 6 shots. Ryan Hartman in what looks like it was just the 1 game was pointless. TJ Oshie was pointless in at least 3 games here. It looks like, 2 games. And Derek Forbort was a late pickup, I think, for the hits and blocks, and he did okay. Pageau was pointless, but he had the 36 faceoff wins. And we'll go to net with Pavel Francouz. Just the 1 game, got lit up by Anaheim, of all people. 4.09 goals against and an 8.71 save percentage. I do remember that night, like Anaheim won. I think Chicago won. Columbus lost. Like it was quite something. But for the tank. But I'm trying not to pay too much attention since we still got so much ways to go.
Lots of season left. It's too bad. I don't know when did he start Francouz? Pretty 26th on the Thursday. Yeah. I guess he didn't know if Fleury was going to get all 3 starts because I think Gustafson has been playing as well. But anyways, MVP. I don't know if there's necessarily a clear cut MVP here. What do you think?
I hear ya. Who is a strong plus minus guy? Skinner did pretty well in that category.
Skinner did do well, yeah.
Yeah, you and know what? I'll give points. It to Skinner with the 5 points and 6 shots on goal. Nobody else really sticking out here.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think that makes the most sense. Skinner with a good week. And it is me. With that, we'll go into our next matchup, which was between manager Danny and Team Gritty and manager Ryan and Team Stammer Time. And this was an 8-3 victory for manager Ryan in what I don't know what we call this one, the VI Bowl, the Bradford Bowl. It's
good. Yeah, VI Bowl. I like that.
VI Bowl. And Ryan improves to 14-2-0. Has he hasn't clinched a playoff spot yet, has he?
He just clinched, I think, because
just clinched.
There's what? There's 10 points left to be had on the season. And number six has 16 points, so he has
good for him. 14-2-0 with 28 points. Very impressive run for him this season. And this was not a particular, it was relatively close, actually. He won goals by one, power play points by one, and blocks by three, and they tied game started. So if Danny wins those three, it becomes 6-5, right? So that is actually quite close.
Yeah, Ryan was like, oh, I'm going to lose. And this was like Saturday, and it was clear he was going to win.
Did Danny have anyone go on Sunday? Oh, yeah, he did.
Manager Danny did not start his lineup at least one day here. Let's see if he started it the rest.
Unlucky. I think, yeah. I mean, Danny, he needed just one power play goal on Sunday to really put the screws into Ryan, and Ovechkin and Capitals lost 5-1 to Toronto and he had no points. So that, it could have been different, but that's always the case, I suppose.
No, could have, for manager Ryan, sorry, I've got to get out of my detective work screen here and back into the old matchup total view. Matty Beniers bobblehead night at the Kraken. So we got there super early, because we were gonna go get this lovely handmade giant pretzel from a bar close by, and there's already like huge lineups. So we just walked to the bar, and it was fucking packed. And it was like a beer hall type like style, like sit anywhere, but
yeah,
it was impossible to find seats because people would just snake them when you're not looking. So you couldn't get the pretzel to go. They had like three food options to go, but a pretzel isn't one of them. Like that's, yeah. What kind of world are we living in? So anyways, we made our way up to a different place. I'm not bitter about it at all.
No.
We'll look at manager Ryan's strong players here. Anze Kopitar doing me proud. 3 goals, +3, 11 shots, 39 faceoff wins, 4 hits and 3 blocks. Zach Hyman with 2 goals, 2 assists, +2, 5 shots, a power play point, hit, and block. Pasternak, while Bergeron and Marchand had poor weeks, he did not. 2 goals, 4 assists, -2. He's ranked 2nd overall in the league. 1 power play point, 24 shots, 7 hits. Mitch Marner with 3 points, 2 on the power play, 11 shots, 4 hits, and 3 blocks. Larson had 3 assists. +9, 4 hits, 6 blocks. Burns with 3 points, 6 shots, 3 hits, 4 blocks. Petey seems to be the one now playing goalie in Vegas with 12 blocks on the week, although he's -4, so he's not the best goalie out there. Joel Eriksson-Ek, 2 goals, 1 assist, 2 power play points, 12 shots, 23 faceoff wins, 5 hits and 2 blocks. Dougie Hamilton, always, of course, having a strong second half to the season. 2 goals, 4 assists, +6, power play points, 16 shots, 3 hits, and 4 blocks. I feel like I've said 4 blocks quite a bit here. And then in net, UC Saros, 2 games started, 2 wins, a .250, and a .931 save percentage.
Yeah, and Hamilton quietly has snuck up to 31st overall in the league. So he's been really good for Ryan. He's always been good when he's healthy, but he's had some trouble staying healthy in the last few years, I think.
And then he had a poor first season in a first full season at the Devils. He didn't even have.
Wasn't he also
half.
Injured? Didn't he break his face or something?
I thought he broke the same season he got traded, but I could be wrong. Yeah, but no, he's like, look at those shot totals. He's pouring them on net.
Yeah, Pasta is leading the league in shots as well by, I think, 17 or 18 over Timo Meier. Curious to see where he gets dealt in the future. But we'll look at Danny's team as strong performers. Just an average kind of week for Nate MacKinnon. 3 assists, but only 6 shots on goal. That seems pretty low. Based on what he had been doing the previous few weeks. It did have 30 faceoff wins. Claude Giroux was really the star of the show here. Four goals, three assists, plus two, three power play points, 11 shots, 20 faceoff, wins a hit and two blocks. And, oh man, the boy I stayed up over all trying to decide if I should make him as a keeper and then passed on him a whole bunch of times in the draft because, you know, everyone did. Mr. Jack Hughes, he is not disappointing manager Danny. Three goals, three assists, plus two, one power play point, 13 shots, 13 faceoff wins, a hit and three blocks. He's just been a machine over the last, I wish I could see what he's been like over the last over the last like 30 days. Who is the top? Jack Hughes is 17. So that's still season total. Come on, Yahoo. Figure your stuff out. Yeah, he's seventh overall. Anyways, thank you everyone for your patience while I fawn over Jack Hughes. In net, Danny had a phenomenal week in net. John Gibson, Anton Forsberg, Vitek Vanacek, and Casey DeSmith. Despite DeSmith, you see what I did there? They had 6 games started, 6 wins, a 226 goals against, and a 933 save percentage. Headlined by John Gibson. 2 games started, 2 wins, and 194 goals against, and a 949 save percentage. Forsberg with a shutout, and Vanacek with almost an identical line to John Gibson. So a very, kind of maybe a little bit of an unexpected, incredibly strong week from manager Danny in net there. Whenever you rely on John Gibson, you're playing with your life.
It's very true. he came through this week. We'll see if it continues. For the weak players for manager Ryan, we'll start off in net. Jake Ottinger, 3 games started, no wins, a 295 and an 885 save percentage. Jacob Markstrom, with just the 1 start, he let in, and this was against Chicago, 421 goals against and an 857 save percentage. He is struggling. Like Vladar is getting more starts since the new year. Well, maybe not quite, but trending that way at least. On the skater side, Carter, Jensen, Roy, and Martin, obviously some of those guys are not there for points or are pointless and have all been dropped. Eric Holla was pointless, that he did have the 26 faceoff wins, 6 hits and 2 blocks. And Philip Hronek in 3 games had the 1 assist plus 1, 9 shots, 3 hits, 3 blocks. So not quite Moe's Siders line this week. But yeah, other than that, everybody kind of chipped in a little.
And yeah, just closing the loop on Markstrom. He has started just one of the last 4 games, and it looks like, I assume Vladar has started the other 3, and he's won all 3 of them. And Markstrom just lost the 1 game 5-1 to Chicago. So
yeah. They got Wolf. Could have been a nice AHL, who's looking real good, but you never know with goalies.
Yeah, and you never, is he like a young guy or like a young prospect, or just like a prospect who's finding his footing?
I want to say early 20s, and I can find that out for sure.
That's pretty young.
Yeah, like he's a prospect. He's not just like a guy figuring out in the AHL. Born 2001. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, he was drafted 2019. So.
Oh man, that makes me feel old. Born in 2001 and he's 21 or 22. You don't want to rush any of those goalie prospects in. I'm sure there's a ton of stories about how that negatively impacted some development, but we'll look at Danny's team and his weak performers. Noel Achari with no points and minus 2, but did have 23 faceoff wins and 10 hits. Kyle Connor, no points, minus 1 with 7 shots. And that was across 3 games. Let's see here. Keandre Miller with no points, but did have 15 hits and 5 blocks. Arber Zhekaj, no points, minus 3. Did have 9 hits. Sean Durzi, no points, minus 3. And Noah Hanifin with just a goal, and Jonathan Huberdeau as well. Just 1 goal, minus 1. 8 shots, 2 hits, 4 blocks, though. And in net, despite getting the win, Casey DeSmith with 1 game started and a 562 goals against and an 846 save percentage. So, I mean, that would have... Danny, I wonder if he would have done better in the prize banana rankings because he would have probably beaten Jags if he had didn't have that DeSmith start. I'd be curious. Maybe not actually. Wasn't Jags like 955 or something?
956.
Yeah. I don't know.
So not quite.
Do the math, but can't be bothered.
No. MVP. I think I'm looking at Dougie Hamilton here.
Yeah.
That plus Hamilton six really helped out.
But yeah, you're right. You swayed me.
Blocks. Yeah.
Yep. No, you had me at the plus six, Dougie Hamilton, with the taking home the MVP for manager Ryan.
Dougie. So we'll head into our final matchup, the Matter Bowl. We have on the one side manager Matt, and in the other side, manager Matt. The real Slim Brady versus Stash Poppy Matt Poppy. This was a very close one. 6-5 win for Matt Poppy. Looking at the categories, you guys tied wins. Shots on goal, he won by 5. You won power play points by 1. So maybe not like a nail biter to the end, but perhaps you have some more perspective on what went down on this matchup.
Yeah, it felt like it was going to be close. And then I didn't have anyone playing Sunday. The only reason it was probably as close as it was, he had five people going on Sunday. But Matthews also got injured, and he had a pretty hot start to the week. So I kind of gave me a chance, but it ended, and Samsonov got the win on Sunday to tie wins. So it was, and what did he get? 19 faceoff wins on Sunday. No, that was still already, he would have still already won that, but it was pretty close heading into Sunday, but nothing I could do. I didn't have any ads. And there was only a couple of games being played. I think he just happened to have a number of those guys. He did have 6 more games played than me, and I knew he was going to have the Leafs had 4 games all on off nights. And I was like, that's tough to get Nylander and Matthews at the time. So anyways, it was a good matchup. I found myself in a rut here. I said that a couple weeks now, but going to have to turn it around or sell off the assets.
Yeah, Matt Poppy's sitting in third now. He's eyeing that buy spot. He was tied for second on the Prize Banana with an 8-1-2 record. You were tied for 6th. There was a lot of ties in the Prize Banana this week at 5-4-2. We'll take a look at your strong players here. Brady Tkachuk, 2 goals, 9 shots, 13 faceoff wins with 7 hits. Alec Tuck with a goal, 3 assists, plus 2. 12 shots, 3 faceoff wins, a hit, and 3 blocks. Dahlin with 3 points, plus 5. Power play point with 15 shots, 4 hits, and 11 blocks. So nice stat line there. Letang with 2 goals, 2 assists, 2 power play points, 10 shots, 12 hits, and 8 blocks. Who did Michael offer you again for Letang? I forget.
I can't remember. Like everyone on his team at some point or the other.
Backlund had 3 assists plus 3, 7 shots, 30 faceoff wins, and 3 hits. Rage Tage had a pretty decent week here for you. 2 goals, 5 assists plus 5, 10 shots, 10 faceoff wins, a hit, and 4 blocks. And then in net, Varlamov had a great week, just the 1 start, but he got the win with a 0.93 goals against and a 978 save percentage. It must have gone to OT. Yes, okay. And Sorokin had a decent week as well. Islander boys coming through. 2 games started, a win, 250 and a 919. And hey, Billy Huso. I guess I could have listed them all. You know what? That's just what I'm going to do. They all could not combine along with Talbot for 6 games started, 5 wins, a 197 goals against, and a 937 save percentage.
Yeah, what a shame to lose on a week. My goaltending's been so turbulent all season, so shame to lose on a really strong week from the tendies, but we'll look at Matt's team and his strong performers, led by William Nylander. 4 goals, 3 assists, plus 2, 2 power play points, 13 shots on goal, and 2 hits. If anyone's going to be my undoing, I suppose I'd prefer it to be the Leafs. And not a ton of offensive output. Jake Guentzel did have 3 assists with 2 power play points, 9 shots and 6 hits. Adam Fox with a goal and 2 assists, plus 6, a power play point, 6 shots and 4 blocks. Trocheck with a goal and 2 assists. And the since dropped Eli Tolvanen with 3 goals, plus 1, 8 shots. In that, he had a very busy week, 8 starts for his goalies, led by Phoenix Copley, who's he really tanked over like a few weeks ago, and then it seems like he's been playing better again. 2 games started, 2 wins, a 3.0 goals against, and a 924 save percentage. And Samsonov, the workhorse in Toronto with Matt Murray injured, 4 games started, 3 wins, a 275 goals against, and a 908 save percentage.
Yeah, he's been decent. For you, starts off at the top. Jack Eichel, weak performer. 3 games played, I believe, was pointless. -4, 11 shots, 8 faceoff wins, and a hit and a block. Evander Kane, just the 1 game, he did get a goal and 5 assists. I think he had to go to court.
5 shots.
Or, sorry, could you 5 imagine? Shots. Yeah. Yeah, it was weak.
In the weak performers, yeah.
Yeah, personal leave, a.k.a. bankruptcy court.
Yep.
Chandler Stephenson, the all-star, 2 assists. You know, I'll leave him alone. Happy for him. Lafreniere, was that just the 1 game?
Or I think it was just 1 game. Looks like 2 games. Yeah. Or it was 2.
Yeah, 2 games. Just had the 1 assist. And Morrissey, saving all his love for our matchup this week, was pointless, -3. He did have 9 shots, 8 hits, and 4 blocks, but I guess the Jets had a tough time scoring. Tyler Seguin, pointless, -3 with 5 shots and 17 faceoff wins, 4 hits, and what looks like 3 games. Ryan Graves was pointless and -3. You dropped Roslovic. How long did that experiment last? 2 games?
I think it was 1 game.
One game. It looks like 2.
Oh, yeah. His second game, he literally did nothing.
-1 in a shot. Yeah. And yeah, so tough couple of performances there, but overall, not a terrible week.
Yeah, I think Jenner came back and pushed him back down the lineup for Columbus. But for weak players for manager Matt T, Charlie Coyle with just 1 goal. But did have 7 shots, 30 faceoff wins, 4 hits, and 5 blocks. Lars Eller, is that just 1 game? Yeah, I won't pick on him for that. Number of zeros here in a row. Tarasenko, Hathaway, Konechny, and Brendan Dillon all combining for no points and -8, although they did contribute in some of the peripheral categories. Romanoff, Pionk, Hakanpa, and Bukestad all with no points as well. I'll highlight Pionk, no points and -5. So him and Morrissey, it seems like and Connor, we talked about Shifley as well. Seems like the Jets just had a tough week. And yeah, man, Hakanpa's really hitting again this year.
Yeah.
I think I knew that, but like last year he was great. Was he great last year on the Ducks? Or was it year before that he was like, I think 2 years ago he was incredible on the Ducks. He was average. He's like 5 hits a game, and none of us had ever heard of him, and I found him out of nowhere. And now he's back to hitting kind of sporadically, but a lot, like 7 hits, a fair amount of the time. So interspersed with some zeros, as it always is. I guess we'll talk about Sam Montembeau in Montreal. Can't really fault him, but 2 games started, no wins, a 367 goals against, and an 889 save percentage. And Montreal is probably going to have a pretty tough way the rest of the year.
He had a wild stretch there, like
he did from the 9th. I thought about picking 24th. Him up.
Lots of good games.
He was incredible.
But over 925, and Jake Allen's back as well. So he's winning too much for the tank. But MVP, like, while I'd love to go Nylander, I think I got to go Samsonov for the 4 games and the 3 wins that loomed large in this matchup.
Yeah, I'll give it to Nylander. He also led the team in shots. and he picked up when Matthews was out. But it was I think Nylander was snubbed for the All-Star game again too, despite being he's having a career season. But how dare they is right. I'm sure he's going to be very happy to go somewhere warm for, you know, 5 or 6 days.
Well, what All-Star is All-Star game? I think it's in Florida this year, right?
Miami. Yeah. Miami
Sunrise,
somewhere
maybe.
Tropical. I believe it's Sunrise. Yeah. I don't think it's Tampa. I feel like I would have heard about it if it was Tampa. Yeah. But so that
is our week. Is that 16 in the books? Sure is. Since this is a double week, I think we'll perhaps come out with a bonus content for you guys next week as we look at who we think will make playoffs. Well, why don't we hop into the power rankings quickly here?
Yeah, so coming in at number 12, we have Manager Drew and Team Ratman Returns.
Number 11,
tier 3, I should say.
Yeah, top of tier 3. Driving his semi, one nut wheeler, Manager Neil.
And up into tier 2, the tiers have really
it was very
much closer together here. It's very tightly packed. If tier 2 starts at number 10, you have Manager Danny and Team Gritty.
Coming in at number 9, we've got the real Slim Brady, Manager Mackay.
And at number 8, we have Manager Michael and Kirill's Capris.
Nice. And at the top of tier 2, we've got Manager Brendan with DJ Zibanejad.
And with half the league in tier 1 this week, we have Manager Jeff at the number 6 with Team A Whole New World.
Yeah, it really grouped up this week. Number 5, Top Shifley, Manager Mitch.
And at number 4, Manager Matt T and Team Stash Poppy, Matt Poppy.
And coming in at number 3, your commissioner, Team Nelly Spaghetti, Manager Steele.
And at number 2, Manager Jags. Is that a surprise? I don't know if he's been at... I can't recall.
He had a strong prize banana rankings week this week. And
yeah,
then,
he did. He's just been, I'm just looking at 6th and 8th and 10th.
Yeah, he's 7, 14, and 21 over the past 3 weeks, so it wasn't too bad.
7, 14, and 21?
In terms of points earned against the league.
Okay,
yeah.
I thought you meant his wins against the league. I was like, wait a minute. Yes, sorry, all that to say, that's at number 2, Manager Jags with Team... Is it Big Cat's Back? I always forget if I'm not looking at it.
I think it's Big Cat's Back.
Big Cat's Back.
And at number 1, he was knocked off the prize banana choo-choo train, but Manager Ryan with Stamatime locking up that first playoff position.
Yeah, and let's get that bonus content out here next week. Talk about the potential playoffs. Maybe look at... I'd love to see if anyone's thinking about making some moves, because I mean, I guess it's not like totally true, but part of me feels like you could just, if you have like a good draft and a good team, you could nearly just buy a championship. Like, you know, if you had like a pretty good foundation and people were selling some good players, I guess none more so than potentially next season, right? Because no one's going to keep their keepers.
Indeed. Yeah. It does open up the possibilities, but you know, do you really want to give up a top 3 pick in a keeper, new keeper?
Oh, no,
but
you wouldn't.
I hear what you're saying, but yeah. Like, there would be, a fourth round pick is much likely to go in that season as opposed to the years prior when we don't have league managers swindling those who have trouble with the rules, Manager Ryan and Manager Jags. I didn't know, I swear. But anyways, thanks for tuning in. It's great to be fully caught up on the pod. We had nothing in the editing bay before this one, so I hope you guys all are enjoying the content. A shout out to Ryan and Sid for the lovely time in Seattle. And I hope everybody has a great double week All-Star break here for some motivation. Just majority of these teams were picked to play against just the once. So I guess that's more of a compliment than an insult, but take it as you will.
Wait, what does that mean? The majority of teams were picked to play against.
This was the one week where you also only play against a player once. The only week. And so the top teams in the league got to pick who they only wanted to play once. Obviously, rivalry.
So I picked you. Yeah.
You picked me.
Interesting. I think I remember that now that you mention it. Okay, understood. That was a sentence and a half, though. I think the rest of the league will be happy to have that.
They'll have some nice context, and they'll like it. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in.
Bye-bye.